San Diego Center for Spiritual Living, Sunday, June 4, 2023. Today's lesson is First Helpings with Dr. Constance Cook Core. Good morning.
Morning.
Such beautiful music. Just keep breathing. That was Ingrid Michaelson. As we begin this new month of June, embracing self-care is our theme. And so let us anchor ourselves in the truth of ourselves. There is one power, one presence, one infinite intelligence which flows through all creation. And I call this God, the living spirit almighty. One, indestructible, absolute, and self-existent cause in which we live and move and have our being. And so it is.
So it is.
So embracing self-care. I have made this brilliant realization that our theme for 2023 here at the San Diego Center for Spiritual Living of living life wholly is divinely inspired. Every monthly theme has been divinely inspired and divinely ordered, because as we come through each month, it's like, whoa, we're all living that. We're all learning that. We're all experiencing something having to do with our monthly theme in many different ways. And no matter what it looks like, I want you to know that the experiences that all of us have been having are perfect. They are perfect. I read somewhere recently that God doesn't give you what you can handle. God helps you handle what you've been given. You know, there are lots of memes out there, but that one came across at a time when I was receiving information about others and myself that made me think, well, yeah, self-care is a big deal this month. It certainly is. And today's talk is First Helpings. When I think of First Helpings, most people think of food. But if you think of what food really is, food is that which sustains and nourishes us, which keeps our body functioning. The body needs basically three things. It needs air, it needs water, and it needs food, our human bodies. If we are lacking any one of those for a sufficient period of time, the body ceases functioning. It stops faster without air than it does without food or water, just to let you know. In fact, occasionally little children will say, I'm going to hold my breath, in order to try and manipulate the parent into doing it. And what I learned from a woman whose child would do this frequently, she said, go ahead, you'll pass out and you'll breathe normally. I thought, She's right. The biggest example of helping ourselves first is on an airplane. When you get on an airplane, the first thing the attendants do before the plane takes off is they stand up in front and say, hey, everybody, listen up. These are safety rules. Now, I've been on flights a lot, and when I was on maybe my first three or four flights, I was sitting there paying so much attention. It's like, okay, if something goes wrong, what do I need to do? Did she say that the seat or the back of the seat is a flotation cushion? But they always told us about the oxygen masks that would drop from the ceiling in case the cabin depressurized. At the time, I didn't know what depressurized meant. I just knew that if that thing dropped down, I had to use it. And they also said, if you have children with you, do not follow your first instinct and put it on the child first. Put it on yourself first so that you can breathe while you are helping the children. Over the decades, that has been used as an example over and over and over again for people to look at what is their survival necessity first. Is that selfish? Heck no. Heck no. You want to know what selfishness is? Selfishness is lacking consideration for others. Lacking consideration for others. Concerned chiefly with personal profit or pleasure. Concerned excessively with oneself. Concern for our own welfare or advantage in disregard of others. In disregard of others. So is putting on the oxygen mask first, disregarding everyone else? No. It is paying close attention to helping everyone in the group. You put your mask on and you can breathe. And then you can help children, you can help elderly, you can help somebody your own age who is totally freaking out. But we have to be breathing first ourselves. So what is self-care? Self-care is holistic care. And what is holistic? Holistic actually means the well-being of oneself. So self-care is anything you do for yourself that feels nourishing. It's anything you do to take care of yourself so that you can stay physically, mentally, and emotionally well. Why do you want to be physically, mentally, and emotionally well? Why would anybody? What difference does it make? I'll tell you why. So that you can be well. You can have well-being. You can do your job. You can help and care for others. You can do what you need to do and what you want to do. That's why it's important to take care of yourself. Years ago, in one of her lessons, Dr. Kathy Hearn was talking about dependency and taking control of your own life. And she said, for all of you who are looking for that knight in shining armor, nobody's coming. Nobody's coming. It's up to you. And it is. It's up to ourselves to pay attention to the different aspects of our life, to care for ourselves. That doesn't mean that nobody else cares for us. It doesn't. But what it means is nobody else is living inside our own body. Nobody else is living inside our own mind. Nobody else knows exactly how we feel physically, mentally, emotionally, how we are dealing with our environment, how we are feeling spiritually, how we are going about our life socially. Those are the seven pillars of self-care, mental, emotional, physical, environmental, spiritual, recreational, and social. And I just want to let you in on a little secret. When you are filled spiritually, all those others are okay. The Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God, not low here, not low there, which means not down the street, not on the water, not in the other land. When you're seeking the kingdom of God, it is within you. So when you look within and you find the divine presence that we all have within us, then everything comes to you. All of your well-being, everything that is of good report comes to you. Because you have within you and you are accessing that those qualities of God that are inherent within you, peace, love, wisdom, compassion, joy, abundance, prosperity, freedom, all of these different things. These are inherent qualities of the divine. And they are within each one of us. And when we are spiritually taking care of ourselves, then we can see and acknowledge this, that this power is within us. And so then, if this power is within us, and we get news that makes us feel emotional, if we want to break down and cry, okay. If we want to break down and cry just for a few minutes and say, got it. Let me step back. Let me live in the divine peace that is already mine. When we hear of someone else's good fortune and we go, wow. There are lots of different reactions to that based on how you feel about prosperity, about the good of others, the good of yourself, your own self-worth. These are different things that can come into play. And I have heard people say, figures they'd win. They cheated everything. And it's like, jealous much? Envy what other people have much? If you envy what other people have, you're not going to get it because your whole mental attitude is that it's out there and other people are getting it. Everything is about self-care. We want to take care of what we think about. Think about what we're thinking about. Remember to remember the divine that is who we are. We always want to take care of ourselves first so that we are then able to help others. Self-care is not selfishness or self-indulgence. It cannot be by their very definitions. But the thing to remember is you cannot draw on your reserves if you don't have any. That's why you put on the oxygen mask first. That's why you, even when you're limiting your consumption of food or water to share with your children, or with others who are hungry, starving, you still need to have water yourself so that your body will continue to function so that you can continue to help others. That's not selfish. It's not, there's 8 ounces of water and nine people here, so who doesn't get their ounce? It's not that. It's we help others. If there's 8 ounces of wine of water and nine people, and one of them is a baby, we want to make sure that the baby gets their hydration. But we also want to make sure that there's an adult that's hydrated to care for the baby. There's an icon on your programs today, and it says you can't pour from an empty cup. Take care of yourself first. That's something I have heard for years. For years. Whenever I have friends or I have had colleagues that are burning themselves out helping others, and they get to the point where they feel they have no sense of worth if they are not wearing themselves out helping others. And it's at that time that I want to take them by the shoulders, move them aside, and look them in the eye and say, and how are you? How full are you? To remind them that you cannot help others. You cannot fill from an empty cup. Another thing we want to make sure that we help others with, I learned this Friday. I was standing in line, and the guy I was standing next to lives on a boat. So we were talking about boats, and I was telling him about my ex-husband's sailboat, and that I'm not a strong swimmer. So when the kids and I went out on the boat with him, I made sure that the kids both were wearing life jackets, and I was wearing a life jacket, and the kids were whining, wanting to know why Daddy didn't have to wear a life jacket. Daddy, who grew up swimming in Lake Michigan. And what this man told me is that there's actually a California state law that anybody under 14 on a boat has to wear a life jacket. And it's not because they might get clumsy or do some kid kind of thing and, you know, jump in the water or fall in the water. It's because of their lung capacity. Did you know that? Kids do not have enough of a lung capacity to float like adults do. He also said, if you take a little baby and drop a baby into the water, it sinks right to the bottom because it has no lung capacity. And I thought, well, there's the argument for never taking babies on a boat. I can go with that one, you know. So if you are going to go sailing and there are any small people or children with you, make sure that they have a life jacket on, so that if anything should happen, they have sufficient buoyancy to counteract their small lung capacity. Amen?
Amen.
All righty. We have a power that we can always use. We have already all that we need to care for ourselves when we are receptive to the source and demonstration of self-care. The source of self-care and the source of the demonstration. Ernest Holmes is the founder of Religious Science and the author of the Science of Mind textbook. And he wrote on page 301, God has given us a power, and we must use it. We can do more towards saving the world by proving this law than all that charity has ever given to it. Remember, God is the silent power behind all things, always ready to pour out pour into our experience that which we need. We must have a receptive and positive faith in the evidence of things not seen with the physical eye, but which are eternal in the heavens. All is mind, and we must provide a receptive avenue for it as it passes out through us into the outer expression of our affairs. If we allow the world's opinion to control our thinking, then that will be our demonstration. I don't know about you, but the examples I have of the world's thinking are not what I want in my life. I sort of kind of like making my own choices. I sort of kind of like understanding that there is that power for good in the universe greater than we are, and we can use it. So I'm going to use it. You get to use it. All of us get to use it. And we get to use it for what we choose, for what supports us, for what helps us to care for ourselves. One of the things that we know is that the body heals itself. The body is the only thing that can heal itself. There is intelligence in every cell, every organ, and every system within our body. But we get to help create the environment for our body to heal itself, right? So we go into the kitchen, we're cooking something nice, we're chopping up vegetables, and we slice our finger. What do we do? Do we just keep slicing vegetables? Mm-mm. No. Well, maybe somebody would. But no, me, I'm going to stop. I'm going to stare at the blood flowing for a minute and go, oh, that's not good. And then I'm going to put my finger over it while I either get help outside or I, you know, run over to my paper towel rack and pull a towel off and wrap the paper towel around while I take care of my body, my injury, so my body can heal itself. What I don't do is I don't run outside and rub it in the dirt, because that creates a very hostile environment to healing. When you're a kid and you're running, and kids do this, I did it, my kids did it, kids at school did it, you're running, you fall down, you skin your palms, you skin your knees, right? Mm-hmm. When I was a kid, what that meant was then you had to go home and mom would scrub it. And mom never scrubbed anything gently. She would get the physahex out and scrub it. And then she would get the methylate or the mercurochrome out and paint that on the wound that stung like crazy. In fact, when it was on my finger, I knew the drill. So I would be sitting there on edge right next to my finger. And as soon as she put it on, I would start blowing my finger to not sting. But then you bandage it, and then your body heals itself. Because within the body is all of the wisdom and the physical capability to heal. Why? Because within every cell, there is the infinite intelligence of the universe. Every single cell. And the body has like these backup emergency plans. Ooh, skinned palm. All right, repair the skin. It's going to go through the repair the skin process, whether or not you wash the dirt out. Right? And if there's dirt in there, it starts to heal. Maybe it's going to fester. And it's like, well, okay. So body is again going according to plan. There's some foreign element in there. So how do we deal with foreign elements? We isolate them and try to force them out. The body heals itself. But we do use first aid. We don't leave our injuries dirty or untreated. We always have broken bones set and stabilized. We do things to reduce our fever, because fever is a message from your body that something internal is out of balance. Like when you fell down and skinned your palm and didn't wash it well enough, there's something in there that the body is now reacting to close it off, to keep it from poisoning your whole system. However, to let you know that your body is fighting for you, it becomes hot. It becomes uncomfortable. So you can say, ah, something's wrong here. There are a lot of benefits of self-care. You have better physical, mental, and emotional health and well-being. And what that gives us is resilience. We live longer. We manage stress better. We take care of ourselves first so that we can then help others. You can ask yourself whenever something comes up and you're facing something, ask yourself, do I have my oxygen mask on? Am I prepared? If it's something emotionally challenging, have I thought about what I'm thinking about? Am I doing my internal work with confidence? Or am I running around in fear with my hair on fire? By the way, oxygen and fire don't mix. Ask yourself how you are doing physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. And always remember the words of Audre Lorde. Self-care is not self-indulgence. It is self-preservation. Self-care is not self-indulgence. It is self-preservation. So I thank you for taking this first helping of our lesson in embracing self-care this month. I thank you for being present. I thank you for caring enough to be here, caring for yourself, for your own well-being. Namaste.